No.
We're ready, huh? Okay. Morning, everybody. Happy holidays. Call our meeting to order. We have a quorum. I'd like to welcome the assistant city administrator, Andrea Luker. Be taking our, she's our Bob today.
As you can see, we have a layout of some activities that's been going on in the visitor center. The phone calls, it's kind of interesting how it all kind of lays out. I guess there's some explanations why the hits are down so much, but you know, you can see the phone calls, we have a lot more activity going on, people calling in about different activities that are happening in Morro Bay. But the web sessions, you can see that they're down. Total visitors are down also. But you can see on the right-hand side that we have more promotional mail going out than considerably from last year, which is kind of an interesting thing all the way around, how all that is deciphered. But you can see total hits on our website. Last year was 397,000, and November of 2006 is 244. I guess there's a couple of reasons for that. The camera actually had some problems with it. It actually froze up a little bit, and that took a little while to get it. We also changed servers, and that went down for a while. So that I would think that had a lot to do with it. And of course, we have a new website look, and that may have caused some of it. Well, we'll see how it goes for the next meeting, and see if our sessions are up. There are a lot of activities going on in the chamber. This new year is going to bring a lot of things for the chamber. I'm just going to run down just a few of the things that are happening. Of course, we have the Winter Bird Festival coming up between the 12th and the 15th. We have our installation dinner, which is the new board members, installing them, and also honoring the exiting board members. That is January 27th, Rose's Restaurant. It starts at 5:30 to 6:30. We have the happy hour and some entertainment. And then at 6:30 to 9 is our dinner and our ceremony. You can call the chamber and reserve a seat if you'd like. We can take care of that at the chamber. February 3rd, here in this building, is Texas Hold'em once again. It's a $100 donation. Starts at registrations at 11, and 12 begins the tournament, and it's actually the same, a decent donation to each one of these organizations. Actually, the lighted boat parade, we are going to hand out a check to the fishermen's organization. I'm waiting for Jeremiah to get back from his fishing trip, and then we'll have something in our office to present a check to them. After that, still in February, we have the tall ships. They'll be coming in. It should be very interesting this year. I think we have two coming in. They really do like our port. I had a chance to talk to every tall ship that came in, and they are enthusiastic when they come in, mainly because our community embraces them as they come in and actually want them to participate in our community. And I'm getting nothing but great things from all of these captains that come in, and then certainly all of the people that are on board. They actually asked if anybody wanted to go on board with them and take a journey for a week, and it would just be a matter of going in and say, yeah, I want to do that. I thought that was pretty interesting. I didn't get many takers though, because it's pretty cold. March 31st is our reverse drawing. Tickets are on sale for that. And call the chamber for any information regarding that. And I'm going to kind of cut it right there, because there's so much happening after that. We'll save it as the events come up. But the chamber is really working very hard this year, and we're bringing in a lot of major festivals, and we're hoping that stimulates our tourists visitors, and I think we have a lot of exciting things happening. I think that's really about it. Tonight we have Slender Lady as our mixer, and that's at 783 Quinn Tanner Road. Andrea is very excited about having her mixer, so there should be a lot of people involved. Come on down if you have a chance, 5:30 to 7.
Great.
That's it.
Thanks.
Any questions?
Cool. Budget report. John can probably jump in and help us with his part. In your packet, though, I do know that there is a report. I think the last page of your packet. We still, to date, we haven't received any. Okay. In your packet is the latest transient occupancy tax report for the month of October. And just to let you know, I just roughed it out. And this year, we're about 15% ahead of October of last year. So that's pretty nice news, about $23,000 more collected in total tax than this month last year, or October of last year. Anything else in the budget? Cool. We'll move. Mr. Sargenfrei.
I don't have too much to report today. I can update you on the stats that we have for the website. As Peter mentioned, we are down a little bit from where we normally are. I'm not sure exactly what's causing that. It may be partly to do with the website design and how it's getting reported. I'll have to look into that because it does seem like it is down, and I don't really know why it would be. But as you can see, there's the activity. And we had 584 visits to lodging, 441 visits to things to do, 288 visits about Morro Bay. So you can still see that the lodging is still the number one category that people go to. We had total user sessions of 3,400, total page views of 14,000, and also interesting, we didn't have any newsletter signups. And normally we have about 10 or 12, 15, you know, without doing a campaign for that. So I'm going to look at these stats and see, because it just seems a little odd that, you know, they'd be down like that. So I'll make sure it's reported correctly. But it is interesting that it ties in with Peter's stats, too, that we both are projecting. It looks, you know, like it was fairly flat for us. As far as website visits.
John, is this November?
Yes, this would be.
Okay.
Well, it's actually up to.
I'm sorry, I just can't read it.
Yeah, it's actually November.
Okay. Well, I noticed when we switched the website over that it was down for a while, and I'm not sure if that's when we switched the server, and I don't know how many days, but it seemed like I checked it a couple of days in a row and it was down. I mean, I have no idea if that could be the cause, but. I mean, is that possible?
It's possible. I think that I know we made an effort not to, you know, have any dead time as far as switching over from the old site to the new site. Usually what would happen is most people would still see the old site, and then eventually the new site would come in, because when you point it, it takes like a couple of days for it to actually.
People use cookies on their computers, which is it loads the page that as soon as you type in Morro Bay, it's going to pull up what it saw last. Okay, so it may have gone to the old site, or the old page might have loaded and we didn't even get the hit. There could be a glitch in the software, in the change, that the new site didn't get recorded hits as the change was taking place. I noticed that compared to last year, just about all the numbers are down. Percentage-wise, even phone calls and different things like that, everything's down a percentage. So if you factor all of those in, it's probably fairly close to real, and I would venture to say next month it's going to be up quite a bit.
When did we switch the web page? It didn't happen until December, did it? Or was it in November?
It was in November. November. Yeah.
Well, I'll look into it, make sure that we are getting the accurate reporting, but I think that there was probably, with the, I would imagine that there may be a part of this is the, from the switchover that we may have lost a couple of days as far as reporting. As far as it being, I'm surprised that it was down that long. I didn't realize that it was, because I know that there was an effort made to have a pretty seamless transition of it going on.
Well, and when, if we ever get on the website, or if anybody ever gets on the website and they see problems like that, should we call you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll do that in the future.
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, the best thing to do is if you just shoot me an email, because then I can forward it on to whoever the appropriate person would be to fix that. And, you know, Billy's our man, too, so, you know, we both... Yeah,
and Billy really jumped in there when we had some difficulties, and we had some back pages that we couldn't, our membership directory and things like that, and then, you know, between John and Billy, I mean, they popped it right up, and, you know, once we let them know that there was a difficulty, you know, the situation was taken care of, which was appreciated.
Yeah, it's a pretty, with the new site, I mean, it's a fairly monumental task. And, you know, as far as getting all that data in and making sure it's all correct, I mean, it's, I wish I could say that it always goes perfectly, but we did try to make an effort if there was a problem, get it corrected right away. And I was going to thank Billy for his help on that, too, because he really did step in and really help us out as far as just being the liaisons between working with the chamber and our website team. I know we have the shopping in Morro Bay, I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't really have a big problem with that, but that's, you know, the committee needs to see if that's, you know, it's more of a chamber than a visitor information. But I serve you guys, so, you know, it's really what you think is appropriate on the homepage.
Well, I guess the problem that I have is that if that's the case, that didn't come before this committee before it went up. It was just put up. And I know we've had, you know, we've had stuff happen before like that where we had, it just, you know, it went up. And I don't know. I mean, I think there should be a discussion about it, because I, you know, I think that it really doesn't fit the design of the rest of the website. Yes, it's a special event, but I think that the chamber's goal is to shop Morro Bay all the time. That's what the theme is to shop local. And that's the global theme you're working on. It happens to be the holidays, but it's, you know, and I know that there's an effort being made to actually do a shop local page that
right.
talks about shop local in Morro Bay. And so ultimately I'm thinking that there will be a button that would be put up on that left side that says, you know, shop local or something like that, that would send you right to that page.
Yeah, so the visitors actually know when they do come in town that there's more here than, you know, there's a little more depth than just the water here. We have a lot of vendors out there at retail that offer a lot of different commodities that you can buy, you know, here versus somewhere else. And I think that was the whole concept. Getting a page that you can click on that shows what Morro Bay has to offer, and perhaps instead of going to
you San mean Louis, from a retail standpoint?
From a retail standpoint,
right.
Yeah. And I think the whole idea was to put a button on the left-hand side and go to the page, and the page would list that. And I think that's what we're doing now. Seems like an awfully big picture there to put, but I don't know. I think that's what's going to happen now, is that's going to actually move in that button, so it won't be quite as prevalent there.
John, did your team design that?
No.
Okay. They constructed that in Elements and put it up there.
I'll take responsibility for it. It was actually designed by our mayor.
Nice.
Okay. We flipped and everything to spend the time to pull it down. One thing that I do think was relevant, and Ann brought it up, and I'll talk to John and Christy about, is the thumbnail pictures. They are a little smaller because we've shoved that big picture in there, but those, I can't really see what they are. And any pictures that we put up there, I think, should be, when you click on them, a pop-up pops up so you can see the picture, or several pictures if it's a slideshow or whatever. But like on the plan a trip, I can't tell what that picture is. I have to, and I do admit I've got my monitor set at a much higher resolution than most people because I try and fit more onto the screen so that the pictures are small and I have to put my glasses on and get real close. But yeah, those it's minor design stuff right now. I think as the site's there and the more people see it, they will have ideas and suggestions, and that's what it's about. Functionality is really what the site, what it does and how it works and what it's and we aren't into what its capabilities are yet. We haven't even kind of scratched the surface on those. Everybody's been kind of dealing with content instead of functionality. But it works great. The site works really fantastic. It's easy to use. It's easy to train somebody to change text on a chamber level, update stuff. We've got that dialed in now, and it's very easy to use. And all of that has to do with Jeremy's software elements too. It's really easy to use, and I can train somebody to use it, and they're on. So, and we added a couple. There's little things that go on all the time that really nobody ever sees, such as the business directory. When you pull up the business directory for the Chamber of Commerce now, do you remember it used to be just this odd-looking page that was totally had no look to the rest of the site? Hit the business directory over on the right-hand side, which is a list of all of the businesses that belong to the chamber. That center...
Jeremy Software, but I think also the danger of the site probably is Jeremy Software because, like Ed said, I don't think that it's an issue that we have Santa shops in Morro Bay because realistically there are a lot of tourists in the area or out of the area who maybe are interested in doing some out-of-town Christmas shopping who, you know, do destination shopping. But I think that in terms of the continuity of the site, if you have people, you know, not people, but if you have the chamber putting up artwork that's designed by a variety of different artists, you're going to end up with a site that doesn't look clean and dialed in.
Right. Currently, I'm the only one that's making changes to the site.
Oh, good.
Other than Christy.
That's what I thought.
With John. Yeah, right now I do it for the chamber, and I'll continue to do that. That's something I volunteered for. And in the event that I have to go someplace, there is a person at the chamber that I can train to do this. They changed the business directory right now, so they have some access. Right now, anything that happens, if somebody has something to say about it, should email me. Don't call me. Email me.
Do the quotations. My favorite thing are the quotations, but that's because I have this like literary, pseudo-literary thing going on that I fancy myself. Do the quotations rotate? I mean, I've looked at a bunch of them. Where are you finding them from? Can we send some others if we find them?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important that we all work together on keeping the site fresh, and because that really gets people to come back. And if they feel like they're going to, you know, be able to see something new, and that's really where the activities come in. I think that what I would like to propose is that, and I think the good example is this when you had the jazz event. You know, it started with just, you know, a little piece of artwork and a word, but you know, I have a talented graphic artist that can take that concept and then do something with it. So, you know, maybe that would be one way to work if you want to put something on, you know, I think that's where, you know, the text changes and things, I don't think it's probably cost effective to get us involved. But if we want to do artwork, you know, maybe that way we can maybe look at more, have it be more design oriented into the site. I don't think the message is necessarily bad at Christmas time. I don't think that it's a bad thing to say, you know, Santa shops in Morro Bay. I think I would have probably made that square a little smaller and maybe had it designed more into the site. I don't think it's I'm not criticizing it. But I mean, that may be one way to do it because that way then...
That little quotation over on the right, you'll notice there's a blank spot on every single page. That blank spot is for a rotating banner. I could have shrunk the picture down, shoved it in there. It would have come up on every page. But these are things that I've just kind of figured out how to do. I actually had my logo rotating on every page for about 10 minutes to see how it looked and make sure it worked. But that is something that can be used, and the chamber will be using it later on to sell banner ads and whatnot on the chamber's part of the site. Or
we're still in an experimental stage.
Yeah, we're still figuring out how it works.
I
flipped it up. Like I said, if I was inundated with phone calls if there was more than one message that came across that somebody didn't like it, I would have pulled it down. But it didn't seem to be that big a deal.
I don't think it's a big deal.
I left it.
That we're there to help as far as just making it consistent with the design.
Today's the 21st, the 25th, in 4 days. I will guarantee it'll be down by then.
I think the bigger picture, though, is that the chamber is trying to establish a program of shop local. And so in heading in that direction, there's going to be a need to add some information on the homepage that directs people, I think, fairly directly to the shop local idea. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think it has to be buried, to me, within the chamber button or the backside side of that. And that's what, you know, when I got my first phone call about what is that, my first reaction was to create, because it was a bigger picture, was to create a button on the left-hand side of the homepage that was a decorative, kind of a Christmassy-looking button that when clicked, that said, you know, you could say the button could say Santa Shops in Morro Bay. And when they clicked on it, it would go to that poster. And the only reason is because the actual copy hadn't been ready to put up for the shop local program at the time. So that was, you know, because, you know, frankly, I mean, you know, we've paid a lot of money to have, you know, a designer come in and design the homepage of the visitor portal of the site. And I just don't feel that it's right that, I mean, we've had this happen before.
Just for over the years. And one thing in relation to that, kind of off of the website, in our PR plan that we proposed and was approved by the committee, is we're going to, you know, earmark a certain few events to really do a whole PR campaign on. And I'd like to propose to do that for the tall ships. We saw, you know, we're still living off of, I think, some of the successes of the Endeavor project. Certainly used the picture a lot. But, you know, we were able to, by doing PR and getting some partners in the media to be with us, and true partners, where, you know, I'd like to approach KSBY and, you know, maybe put a reporter on board the ship like we did with the Endeavor. We've got incredible publicity for that. And not to rehash old news, but I mean, the reality was by doing that, we beat Ventura and we beat Oxnard, and I think we even beat Newport as far as attendance. And that's pretty good for Morro Bay. And the Endeavor people, I mean, they were shocked that we were able to do that. And what happened was, I mean, by the time the Endeavor got here, everybody knew how to build the ship because we kept running that documentary over and over again on leased access. So I'd like to, you know, talk to the tall ship promotions people, see what they have available, and, you know, if we got some footage and something like that, and then go over into the valley too, you know, with this, because I think it's a great outing for people from, you know, Bakersfield, Fresno. It gives them a reason to come, and it's still at a time that we're going to need we need the help. It's in the off season.
Actually, so. Can you also hit the schools? This really has an educational component this time,
right? And, absolutely.
Well, since this is a February event, and since you want to get moving on that, and since you've just said you want to work on it, and we want to make sure we have input, I know the next item we'll get to is the public relations subcommittee report, which of course there is none. But because this is a February thing, do you want to schedule a January meeting of the subcommittee to review or work with you on any of that stuff that you've come up with so we can make, because it is an ad hoc committee, make our January subcommittee meetings as shortly after the new year as you think appropriate so that we can get to work with you on that?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll pick a date. Yeah. And
I think we'll do that. What I'm curious about, Peter, is that typically when the times that we've had two tall ships in at the same time, it's been the Lady Washington and the Hawaiian Chieftain.
Right.
But But the Lady Washington was here for the Light of Boat Parade, so I'm curious who's coming. Do you know?
No, not for sure. I believe the Lady Washington is going to be one of the ships. And the second one, I'm not sure. And to be honest with you, I'm really not sure if there's going to be two. They have a schedule, but that seems to change. They're very receptive, though. I'm still amazed how they did that. But I think they're very receptive.
And do you know, is the Bounty scheduled to come again this year?
I'm not sure. I think they're stuck on the East Coast, to be honest with you. There are several problems that came up. I think there's some movies that pulled them away. I think that had a lot to do with it. Lady Washington, I know, is coming back, and the second ship, I'll find out who it is. We have good communication.
Yeah, I think as soon as you have it nailed down, then I'd like to, you know, get
Excellent.
Started on promoting it, because the first thing we'll need is obviously who's coming, and then get in contact with them and find out what we're able to do. But, you know, I know that it was a life-changing experience to put that one reporter on from KSBY. I mean, I talked to him. When he first got on, he thought he didn't have to work. And they said, oh, no, you know, you're part of the crew. And he was kind of unhappy, like, the first day.
It's a lot of work.
And then, actually, the leg that they went on, I mean, they went from Oxnard up to here, was one of the worst parts of their entire trip, because there was a storm. They had huge waves. But by the time the guy got into it, I mean, I should bring it and show. I have the piece. And I looked at it not too long ago, and it kind of made me interested in doing the PR again for the tall ships. It's a beautiful piece. The guy was a great writer, so we really lucked out. He's since moved on, you know, into another market. But
is it possible that that piece and the link to it could be loaded as a video clip for that month on the site as a link?
It could. I mean, we don't want to confuse it because it's the Endeavor. But
good job, Bob. There's your two boats coming, the Hawaiian Chieftain and Lady Washington.
Oh, okay.
There's the dates that are up there. Good job, Robert. So February 22nd to the 26th, the Lady Washington and the Hawaiian Chieftain will be here.
I mean, even if it's a generic tall ship clip that's moving in the little viewer as a flash for the month, you know, with a bit of sea chanty pirate music underneath or something like that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we did, and I think what we can do for these two ships is that we built the momentum for it. You know, we started by talking about it coming. We actually had radio stations call the ship as it's coming in and talking to the ship on its voyage. And again, if we can put a reporter on, you know, someplace, some landing spot where they're going to be. So I guess that would be the interesting thing. I wonder where they're...
Well, I did the...
Where do they go? Where are they at before they come to Morro Bay?
Ventura.
So that would...
Oxnard, Long Beach, looks like they're going north, so Long Beach, Oxnard, Ventura, and then Morro Bay.
Sounds good.
I wanted to... do you have more, John?
I was going to talk about the logo, but I see that's on the agenda, so I'll just cover that part.
I wanted to ask about a couple of things. You and I had a conversation, or I'd let you know, what's the status of fixing the billboard?
I put a call into the guy, and he's going to come down and
do
it.
Did you happen to notice it coming up? Okay.
Yeah.
If you were to go down and look at how the billboard is put up, it's the vinyls wrapped over the top, and then they use tie-down straps on the back side to squeeze it all together and make it taut all the way around. And there's a part of the top, right at the top of the billboard, almost dead center, where the vinyl has kind of pooched up on the top, not on the face, but on the top. And when you're driving by, it looks kind of silly. So I've asked, I let John know, because the other problem is if it's not all tight and stretched around, then the weather can start working on it. And you get the winds, and all of a sudden it can, you know...
Yeah, I think the wind eventually would make that worse. I mean, right now, it's not.
Well, I'm going to guess it's the wind that caused that to begin with. So we just, you know, so I wanted to, and I let John know, and he has contacted the guy who put it up for us.
Is there a way to cut down the shrubbery?
Have you been by?
No, did it just happen? I'm by it every day.
You should look.
At least twice.
Well, what you can really see now, and it's been a couple weeks, as Peter knows, but it's been a couple weeks now that I was out there whacking willow trees. And so if you drive by, you can see all the cutoffs of the willow trees where those all went back. The shrubbery along the highway,
right,
though, is still... I went and got some down south, but, I mean, you're literally up on the
edge of the freeway with some of those bushes, and I haven't got back up there to cut cut.
Let me know when
down,
you're going. So. I'll be glad to help you.
Okay. Cool.
Is there also a plan for when the big events come, like the Bird Festival or the Toll Ships, to create the across the top of it, like the this week special sort of horizontal, you know, extra add-on piece that could just be...
David, I would suggest to you that part of our budget for this website for this current fiscal year was exactly to do those kinds of things and was to highlight the events on the homepage, the upcoming events that, you know, the ones that are...
Were you talking about the billboard?
Actually, I'm talking about the billboard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's not a bad idea, but the idea is that there's an add-on that says this week or Friday, Saturday, Toll Ships.
The only problem with...
Whichever, you know, group it is that's putting on the event, like the Art in the Park and the Harbor Festival, that kind of nonprofit group is the one that says, hey, we want to put this up, and they pay for the sign to be made, and we just facilitate it getting up.
Actually, we don't. The Chamber does.
Oh, okay. So.
Because they're the ones that they don't want, rightfully so, the liability of somebody going up and climbing that billboard. So they want control over that, and I think, you know, they need to keep that control.
Hi. As a person who's actually gotten up there and put those signs up on that billboard, it's challenging. It's very challenging. So if you are considering a process that would get that on a regular basis, we may want to... It may be a larger project to look at doing that a little more safely and a little more effectively. And but yes, it is kind of a hang on for all dear life kind of thing, and it can get scary. So just to let you know, it's pretty high out there. Just to let you know, that's not an easy process initially. So
I did have one other thing.
So do I.
Okay.
You can go.
Well, I wanted to mention, and I mentioned this to Ed prior to the meeting, but we have really good news relative to Coastal Living Magazine. I think you're all familiar with that publication. It's a national publication. We're going to have a story in March on the on Morro Bay, particularly centered around the aspect of bird watching. And it is a direct result of sending our press information to Coastal Living. And I talked to the senior editor, who was very cooperative, very nice, and she saw the pictures in our destination guide and requested the use of those. So we were able to get all the people that had taken those photographs and getting their blessing. And so I would imagine, and I don't know the scope of the article, but I would, by asking for the amount of pictures that they asked for, which was four or five pictures, I would imagine it's going to be a couple-page article. And I think it'll be really, really good for Morro Bay. And it's a great publication. It's our target. And we've got a relationship now with them, which is really good, because I said, you know, maybe the next thing, they have a feature every month that is kind of, it's interesting when they talk about, so you want to live here. And it's really not so much where people are going to move here, but it's really a picture of the city, the town. You know, what the housing costs are, what the amenities are, who lives there. And it's a feature that they do every month. And so she said, well, yeah, we might consider, you know, maybe that down the line too, which would be a great...
Great.
I know Ed had something to add, but since it's an advertising agency thing, you know, we spoke of the earned editorial credit. And I don't know if you've caught this, but we did make Sierra Magazine.
Wasn't aware of that. I know we sent them some things.
I don't know who wrote the story, because it's an unattributed editorial thing. It was November, December, but the story was about the fishing industry. Net gain, so it's a plus story from the Sierra Club, that about how the commercial anglers in Morro Bay are working together to save the fish in the industry. And it talks about the exchange deal that they had going with the Nature Conservancy on the fishing permits and things like that. But it does get a positive spin anyway on the fishing industry in Morro Bay in the Sierra Magazine. So I didn't know, because I know we were taking a paid ad or at some point.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that. I wish I could claim credit for that, but you know, we never approached them on that theme. So, but they are on our list. And again, it's just, you never know what when somebody gets information on a particular destination. Like, we didn't specifically target birding for Coastal Living, but that's what they wanted to pick up on. So it's really, it's just awareness.
Yeah, it's a matter of getting the information in front of their face and then let them pick you know, what they find a hook to do
and
something.
And it may be, you know, where they put it in a file and they're doing small beach towns, you know. Yeah. And it's all of a sudden it's, you know, 8 months later and they go through their files and they say, hey, you know, here's some information on this. So it's really a fishing expedition.
Yes, as, or as you Ed just used the word hook, but we will let all the puns fade away.
Andrea, do you know who who's on staff with the city or who you have contracted with that has done the work on the city's website? It's really quite attractive, frankly. And
I do not. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
Okay. And the reason
I
that
find
I
out.
Well, the reason that I mention it is that there was some discussion at the Thursday business forums with regards to signage and the parking management plan and that, and the idea came up to that the public needs to know where the public parking lots, parking areas are. And so I suggested, and I wanted to bring it before the committee, and I'm kind of doing this website thing under kind of under John's deal, with regards to having a city street map on the website. And I to that end, I called Peter and I asked him.
It's coming right now.
So they're sending the file down?
They're sending a CD down because the file is so large.
Okay.
And
so
we should have it this week?
So
no, I think it's a good idea, and I think we could have it where people could print it, you know, download
right,
it.
Right, have it downloaded.
They could take it with them when they come for their visit.
So what I'd like to do, though, is, and I knew that putting this up and stuff might cost a little bit of money, and I know that we have kind of a blanket budget amount, and it's not real specific with regards to the website and work on the website, but if it needed to have some kind of a motion or whatever, I don't know what the cost would be to you know, to put it up, if we could just encompass that within the budget. I would also like to see, though, when that happens, I would like to see the public parking lots highlighted on the site. And I know that this could lead to some strange things happening with that street map, because there's already been suggestions about other things that ought to be highlighted on the street map. But but anyway, I just thought as a start, it ought to be that we ought to get the public parking areas located on there. And the reason I bring up the city site is because I think the city should probably create a button that would also send people to that. Because I know there's various maps. I actually went looking in the planning department, because there's a lot of information on the website, on the city's website. And I went to the planning department thinking I might find a street map, because then it would have been easy, but there isn't one.
And now that I'm fully awake, certainly Steve Doerr is our IT person, and he's the gentleman that does most of the work on the city's website. So
is he city staff?
He's a city staff person, yes.
Okay. What department is he in?
He's an admin.
Okay.
So he does all our computer work.
Oh, okay.
So certainly that doesn't seem to be a huge issue.
Well, what I'm thinking about is once we get this, and we would contact him or someone, you know, and just say, hey, this is available, because you do have organizations on your site, on the city's site, there are organization buttons that they can go to different.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that map could, as you said, there's probably other things like parks. You know, I haven't seen that map, so I don't know if they're highlighted or not, because
right.
Morro Bay's got some great parks. And
right.
I think visitors, you know, want to know where they're located as well.
Well, I think one of the, you know, for at least from a hotelier standpoint, it's amazing. I mean, we keep a street map 8.5 by 11 with just the main core of town with numbers on it.
The map would appear,
right.
And then there would be a spot that says, you know, would you like, you know, just like you could hit the little mm-hmm. print icon, and it would be a PDF that
right.
they would just print right out and be full size.
Well, I think map and directions, you know, I mean, it's a great, you know, every website should have a map and directions page anyway. We could do that with MapQuest, but it wouldn't allow us to play with it, you know, to be able to highlight things on there that we might, you know, like where Two Dogs was.
And we do have directions now on the new website.
Good idea.
In the business directory, there's already a MapQuest.
Right.
In the business directory, and you punch on it, and it'll give you the location of that business on MapQuest.
So you're already there. But it doesn't allow you the flexibility to play with MapQuest.
You just have to enlarge it.
Well, no, I mean, you can't highlight on, you can't locate public parking lots on a MapQuest map. Well, I'm just saying that you can't manipulate a MapQuest map. All you can do is have a map for, you give it an address or you give it information, and that map pops up showing you that location. But it isn't just like a map that you could, you know, that you could print out that would say, oh, there's all the parks and there's, you know.
I think that's the map that lists those things, because when I did my little road trip and I wanted to go out to Tehachapi and I wanted to see the wind farm and I wanted to see the train loop, and it was very difficult until I got to the hotel and the front desk had that 8.5 by 11 simply printed thing with the numbers. Had I been able to download that in advance, it wouldn't have been sunset by the time I finally got to see the trains and the windmills, because it's a lot of roads driving around out right in the middle of nowhere. So having I think that kind of a quick and easy map that you have in your hand as you arrive in town before you get to the hotel is probably something people would avail themselves of.
So we'll wait till Peter gets, when that CD comes in, we can get it to John and,
yeah, absolutely,
and go from there. Okay, cool.
I'd like to mention one more thing. A month ago, we had some people from PBS come into town, and they have been filming, I guess, once a month, a series that goes nationwide about different locations on the coast and what's happening in the harbor, and they had to come down in November. Remember, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Ed, yeah.
Yep.
And a family, and apparently it's going to be viewed on a PBS station this month. I believe it's the 26th and the 28th. I'll get
a PR subcommittee report? No, you already said that, but no, we're going to have.
But we are going to set one for January to work with John on.
Okay. Website subcommittee report?
Ann and I met yesterday. Ann and I met yesterday. Email didn't go through to Bill, so he wasn't there.
We need to get Bill's new address.
And, I replied to the message I got from him, so I'm not sure why it didn't go through.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we went over a couple of things, one of which is on the front page, those little pictures. Could be bigger pictures, and definitely a lot more of the pictures on the site, being able to click on it and enlarge it, and all the rest of it is being discussed constantly here. So I think we've already gone through everything we said at the website committee meeting.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, then we'll move on to unfinished business. Discussion about use of street banners. A couple of these things, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we kind of save for David.
Yeah, and I did, although I looked it up, again, based on what Betty Winholz had said, that SLOCOG was doing something already. So I said, all right, let's find out. And indeed, on their, they have a Route 1 scenic byway planning and coordination, because we decided it was that they had declared this Highway 1 an all-American highway, and they said there was a grant available, and I can't figure out how much out of their budget. It's a rather confusing, this more acronyms than they explain. But I called, and we spoke to Darren Brown, the transportation coordinator, and he says, yes, they are going to be dealing with signs and banners for this stretch of Highway 1, and I did tell him, because, you know, coming north, we are the first city on the coast. And he said they were aware of that, and they'd also heard about these other issues involving signs to point out the rock and things like that. I guess that was a reference to the comments you had made about your previous meeting. And their goal on this is, it says here it's an ongoing process. They're going to be doing their study between February 1st and April 1st, which is what he told me, March and April. And so I said, well, I have his number, and I said, please keep us in the loop, because if you're going to go ahead and decide on the signage and do that stuff, it would be nice if we could have some input into the processes. By all means, stay in touch. I have his email, so come February, March, I'll get back in touch.
He hasn't gotten the permit yet, and yet Caltrans's promotion of the Gateway Sign Program actually says on the front of their flyer that Gateway signs in the state right-of-way will now be considered. So it's like, well, it's kind of a little hypocritical, you know, of like on the one hand it's okay, but not for you. But anyway, and to that end, so Bruce and I met with Caltrans, and we brought it up about, and we actually ended up working with Sam Blakesley's office a little bit, trying to get move forward with off-ramp signage changes, actually, Caltrans stood its ground and said, no, we can't do anything. This is all we can do is throw up some little more blue icons underneath the old signs that are already there. And so Betty had said, have you talked to SLOCOG? And we said, well, no. So I know that she was going to talk to Bruce and get some information from him, and then she was going to get a hold of me. But I know Bruce has been on vacation or was on vacation. I don't know if he's when he's be back, maybe next week or something. So, but I also know that the plan is, according to Bridget, to bring the city signage program, which is all intermingled together, back to city council in February. So so I know that this is all, and I know SLOCOG's involved in part of this too. So so yeah, I mean, it's great. The more information you bring us, and I'll share stuff with you, David, if I do hear back from Betty, and so we can kind of not, we're not all going in opposite directions or riding the same horse, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know if this, see, this Big Sur All-American Road Steering Committee, maybe, it seems to me, is different from Caltrans's official signage thing, that one is clearly more of a promotional thing, whereas the other is more of an official, by-the-regulations, highway signage thing.
Right. But to that end, if SLOCOG, because they are involved in the All-American Highway, or All-American Road, if that would, I forget what the actual...
All-American Road.
Then that's what led us to believe that as this moves forward, because there is Caltrans representation on SLOCOG, that we might be able to tie it all together using SLOCOG as a vehicle to, you know, to help that along. So
SLOCOG made a presentation last night, if you like.
Did they? On the All-American Road Program?
On the Byways Program.
Okay.
Well, like I said.
Okay, thank you. Does that tie into the gateway concept? I mean,
well, you think about
museum co-use. I'm not really sure.
That was something we had decided.
I'm reading the wrong thing.
You're on the We had put that to the city council because
you're on the right agenda, Heather, instead of last month's agenda.
That goes to the planning, and it was put to the all handed out to the city council people to be brought up in their future discussions of planning and zoning. So that was distributed to them. It's now in their hands.
Okay. Moving on here to new business, review of the trade show booth, and you will notice, and actually got to live through the PWAB meeting last night, so it probably got a little exposure, Bob, didn't it? Last night on TV, too, so that's kind of neat. It is gorgeous. I guess the issue that we've talked about is the damage. If you look at above left center of the rock, the top of the rock, you can see a streak down the face of the vinyl. And it's
UFO.
The vinyl has it's a UFO. The vinyl has actually was creased and separated from the photograph. And while you know, pointing it out, it's, if you go up to it, it's very obvious. And that's what we've been working on over the last couple of meetings, was talking about how much, how long it would take. Peter informs us that 3 or 4 days that can be redone. So like that's the idea of wanting to get this. Get that big picture changed, replaced. And I don't think you can repair that, and they're not. I don't believe they're that much money. Did you get it?
Yeah, I did. Actually, we were talking about matching the top banner with the bottom, and maybe that might be a problem. I was just looking through the price breakdown, and for under $700, you could replace both and match them both. So, I mean, it's really not that bad when you think about it. And it's in a turnaround time is about 3 to 4 days.
Billy wanted me to, he had to leave, but he wanted me to mention his idea. And what he was proposing is that you have one big picture, and then with technology being what it is today, and the cost of this now is not too cost prohibitive, but actually have some flat screen monitors that would replace those pictures and have that embedded into the booth. And then you'd have live, you could have the pictures changing. So like they would dissolve and go into another picture. You could actually then on one of the monitors, and you might not have six because it might be a little too much, but you know where you'd redesign it and maybe have like, even if you had two monitors and the pictures would switch, would change and rotate, And then you could actually show the DVD in one of those monitors as well. Probably turn the volume.
I'm going to guess with cords and wiring and stuff that you'd want them to go out the backside, which means if you use the existing panels that are there, you'd have to cut holes in them in order to make that work. I'm not really sure if this particular booth is set up to handle that. Number one, if a bird flew by that really fast, it'd blow it over.
I think it may be premature as we're talking about
great idea.
Reworking it right now, but it may be next year or whenever the committee decides that we want a new booth, and that may be the next phase to look at, because that's really where
things are
going.
Sure, something a little more techie and modern.
But for the time being, when I've done a couple of trade shows, if you have someone who has a notebook computer with a 15-inch screen and a built-in DVD player, we've left it out playing on the table on front running on
well, and actually computer. The promotions committee purchased years ago the combo TV VCR. So we had, in the old VHS days, we were doing, that's exactly what would happen at a trade show. We had a looped video that would play. And so today you'd swap that over to a DVD instead of...
Because the notebook computer takes up a lot less space.
Right.
Because it's battery, you don't have to worry about the cabling or the electrician.
Oh, sure.
Or is it the cheapest thing maybe to get you'll notice if you zoom in on Bill's button, just for the sake of the size of it, and if you get, if you have the button, but something about that big, that's the I Love Tourist button, and you just put it on to cover the stain for the time being.
Well, I guess the reason we wanted to get it up there was to show everybody what is going to the trade shows that we're doing. And so is it something, to me it's just spectacular looking. It's kind of like, it's not broke. Do we need to fix it? So I don't know. It's a couple of the pictures. I think the golf picture's a little dated. There may be a couple of things that are kind of dated about it, but I don't know.
I think, in my opinion, that especially if we feel like we want to update it, and maybe it's even a two-year plan where we say we really like something that was really more advanced, if we just get a new version of what we have, are we really stepping forward at all? And in my opinion, from the trade shows I've been to, the reality is that you're 10 feet away from that. No one is up there looking to see, is there a rip, is there a stain? And there's so much going on at trade shows. I feel like we should keep what we have and invest in a long-term plan where we create a bigger concept than just replacing.
When you're at a trade show, you're barraged by visuals and sound and everything's going on. And, I don't really think that the average, attendee at a trade show would really even notice.
Well, then, so the idea again was to bring it here, take a look at it, see if you thought it was dated to the point, because it was damaged, and while the damage isn't insurmountable, to just leave it alone. If the photographs were dated and need to be freshened up, then we had a good reason to do so because of the damage that was on it. But if everybody thinks, hey, this works for now, it's fine, and the damage isn't that bad, then let's let it go.
Has anyone approached a professional photo retoucher to see what the estimate would be just for superficial cosmetic?
I'm not sure it would hold up to the wear and tear of what that thing goes through to get in and out of its packaging to get up there. The reason that it's damaged to begin with is because it was mishandled. So if you do something on the surface of it, doctor it up on the surface, it kind of concerns me about taking the abuse that these things do take. But that's...
At the show, I'm sure that Peter will go around and look at booths, and that might be a good opportunity to see what other people have out there.
Yeah,
that
just
might
to see
be,
what's going. Yeah,
yeah. Because I really like the flat screen. If we have to, but I don't think they'll hang on that existing display.
What's the what's your next show? Do you recall?
It's the LA trade show.
And when is that?
February 9th, 10th, 11th.
If the committee...
I might go to that. I'm sorry. I was just going to say I'll go to that show and do an assessment. Maybe I can take some digital, and maybe we might think about for the following year, since it's not in this year's budget, maybe a new booth.
We could use your help.
Well, and if the committee would like to, certainly this is something I have a lot of interest in, and I would be willing to do some research and see what some different options are so that we can develop a long-range plan so it doesn't happen just like this next year where we bring it up and say, well, gosh, we really should replace this. We talked about it last year. So if the committee would like me to do some work.
If you go, just go to the internet and go to Skyline Displays, mm-hmm. which is the brand, that company, you'll see it all.
Okay.
It's incredible what's out there.
And I may go to the, I don't want to commit myself at this moment, but I may go to the...
Or to the logo on the trade show booth as well. And I brought this just as an example, and I'll just pass this around, but this is the logo that we're utilizing right now, and we have been for some time. And as you look at the city seal, that's where we got it from. So I think my artist at some point in time was kind of struggling with what is Morro Bay's
logo.
So
you're talking about the typeface.
Right.
And font. Okay.
Right. So my recommendation, I like that logo. It reads well. Obviously, we've been branding Morro Bay with that logo for some time in the advertising. My thought would be is to, and I'm not sure exactly what the next steps are, but to utilize that logo as best you can everywhere. And I would go ahead and trademark it along with Discover Your Better Nature. And
well,
it's just the type. It's the typeface, the Morro Bay.
Right. The Morro Bay underlying mm-hmm. California. That's what you're considering the logo,
right.
as opposed to a graphic.
Yeah, right.
Like right.
Who would do the trademarking process? The city administration handle that? I don't. Who actually files?
Probably the city attorney.
We should. Maybe we could ask. We can ask Rob about how we go about trademarking.
I don't think it's a real, I mean, you basically have to get the artwork, you have to send it in, and it's a process that goes through, but probably the city attorney could direct us on how we do that.
And can you trademark a font?
It's got to be unique enough that...
The trademark is the slogan, Discover Your Better Nature, and if you can't get a TM, you can get an SM, like some of the airlines do a service mark on that.
Well, I think that what you could do is, I think that is a logo. I mean, we could, and if we want to redesign it, we can. But no, I think you could be able to trademark. What I would do is, I would trademark the Morro Bay font like that, and then I'd have Discover Your Better Nature underneath that. So that whole thing would become the trademark. And I will tell you that it's interesting because I was looking up. For some reason, I was on Monterey's site, and I ended up looking at their minutes, which you can do because it's public record. Because I find that interesting to see how other people are doing, you know, their committee meetings. And it was interesting because they were getting sued by Folsom, of all places, for using their slogan, which was, I think it was, "Come to Your Senses." And it was interesting from my perspective of being in advertising, the agency.
Another interesting question, huh? But I may, maybe we'll ask Rob about that, city attorney, and see if about the trademark process.
And it may be, when you ask him, since you're going to be talking to him anyway, you may ask him about how he feels about coming up with one set logo. Because what happens with logos, if you use a variety of logos, then you're leaving yourself exposed to not being able to have a case to say that any of these are protected.
Well, but this would be a logo adopted by the Community Promotions Committee. It doesn't have to be the city government logo. I mean,
ideally, and I don't know how it would all work and how the council would feel, but I mean, I would recommend that you use this logo for everything.
But the city's got their the little wave with the moon sun thing on it that is I mean, I'm going to guess it would cost a fortune to change all of that stuff, you know, for them. I know, but that it's different than the corporate seal. That's the official corporate seal,
right,
for the city. So, but that's not, you know, I probably, if it would have been me, I probably would have chosen that to use every day on my letterhead and everything.
Right.
That's gorgeous.
It is a lot of ink and a lot of print and a lot of
right.
detail. And the super bold thing that you let them get away with, a two-color reverse black and white.
Right. Where there's the logo up there.
Two colors and low resolution.
Right.
Well, see, that's the mark. But, I mean, as far as the font to use, I mean, I Ideally, I think the city should use, I mean, I just think it'd be cleaner and look more professional if it was one logo for everything.
Well, let's find out about trademarking, and then we can maybe approach council or Bob or somebody to talk to him about, have a conversation about the continuity.
John. And it may be a cost factor. I know that to change everything, it is expensive to change all your letterhead and all your forms. I mean, that just may make it impossible. But
do you think that, I mean, to me, I feel like it really is a typeface, and obviously you're trademarking the typeface and the saying and stuff, but I feel like it needs a rock in there somewhere to tie it into Morro Bay, but how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that the reason this logo works, and it's sort of, it's probably not real accurate to show those sized ads, because we don't normally run those size, you know, we run really small ads like in Sunset. And if you have a logo, you just need a logo that's going to work both.
Conduct an in-depth search to see if it shows up anywhere else,
right,
and has already been mm-hmm. taken by a community. So
the other idea I would have is that maybe we could do like a watermark of the rock from that line, the baseline under Morro Bay, down, right there. You know what I'm saying? So that you still have that compact, but you know, the compact size and everything, but you have the ability to have some sort of a graphical element in there too.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. That's just my idea.
Would it be a detailed rock a la the city seal, or a more abstracted rock a la the letterhead?
I would leave that decision up to the graphic artist.
Well, why don't I? We certainly have our design budget, you know. I mean, I actually have my artists working on a new campaign that I was going to propose for the committee to get a new look, some new copy. I'm having Phil write new copy that's going to incorporate more of the estuary. I think Ed, you and I had that discussion. So next meeting I could bring a couple of different ideas for the logo and see if we want to have a mark with it, and just have you guys evaluate it and see if you think that would work. And I can show how the application would work, because that's what's really important. When you look at a logo on a piece of paper, you really need to see how it's going to look in an ad, and how it's going to look, you know, in a 4-inch ad, and how it's going to look in a full page ad, because that's where the application comes in. You know, it's one thing to see a bunch of, I won't do it that way, I'll go ahead and have it put into some of the ads so you can see how that would work with the design.
Good. Because just and we may agendize this later after I talk, I really expected Cheryl from the NEP, National Estuary Program, to be here today. She was going to come during the public comment period and just share with us. If you remember, we applied for a grant, the Promotions Committee did, earlier this year, and we were turned down. And she actually sent John a letter, and she said that she should have copied us on that, but she didn't. But she did send me a copy. I did now have a copy of that letter. And they discuss wanting to work with us, whether it's inside or even outside the grant program. So to that end, we may look at putting a future agenda item on there to discuss the NEP and how we might partner together with some of the new creative, because a couple of things came up from one of the presentations that we had a couple 3 weeks ago from Slow Seas at the Thursday Business Forum. About it's one of the cleanest bays. We actually talked about the wanting to use that and then let people come at us and prove us wrong. But anyway, to that end, we're going to get involved with the NEP, and maybe we can have them come in and we can see where we go with that. You're chomping at the bit.
At that meeting, it was true. We had the two speakers. The woman locally is going to be Allison Chan. They're from UCLA, actually. And I said I volunteered at that meeting to be a liaison to that committee when they eventually get underway with their program. Part of it had to do with they were discussing doing surveying. They want to do consumer surveys looking at the economic impacts and effects that the natural environment has on the business community. And we might want to help direct their study, because, again, they for the first thing that came up was they wanted to do a summer thing that was a July or August survey. And we're like, well, that's not really going to give you a very good snapshot of Morro Bay, because there's that whole summer spends the winter sun thing going on here. And you have to really make your survey more inclusive. You really need to look at our big holiday weekends like Memorial Day, 4th of July, or Harbor Fest. And if they just looked at a July, August, considering that summer, as does so much of the rest of the world, they would get skewed results. And so we hope to have some meet with them and discuss how they formulate their survey. And
right, to make it a little bit broader than just focusing on 2 months of peak travel to Morro Bay. But I think what they're doing is great, and they got a big grant to do all this. I mean, they've got a full-time person. This the lady who's going to be, she's actually housed in with the NEP. She's full-time for these guys. So she's been hired to do this research up here, and they're going to be spending 3 years here doing this research. And I'm just really looking forward, to that communication, because I think we can have some good things happen.
I think the one thing that the estuary provides, too, is that it's our sort of our unique feature. And from an edit, trying to get press, we did make cover of Sunset a few years ago. Not a picture, but we had Morro Bay on the cover of Sunset, and it was about the estuary. And so it's a jewel that we ought to promote. And I think we can get press out of that.
Well, again, that may be the hook to getting, right, Sierra Club's already done a positive story about the interrelations of the fishing community, so that a national estuary is probably a hook to get them back.
Closes is associate, is he associate dean of, or associate, what is he at Cal Poly?
He was associate professor.
He's an associate professor at Cal Poly of biology. I think it was biology.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some it's kind of neat seeing UCLA, Cal Poly, working in Morro Bay.
I mean, and part of the problem, I think, with their survey was they depended on summer students to do the work, right? Their thing about the survey was, well, who's going to do the survey in March or April or May? Because they rely on volunteer students, when the thought would be, well, Poly students live in the area, and I just can't be sure that everyone is going home for months at a time, so I'm sure they'll work that out.
You know, there is one, and again, I don't know if this would apply, but there is one other caution to that, because I worked with Cal Poly. There was a time we had all of, I think it was about 28 Long's drugstores, had the whole district, and they wanted to do a research project, and we wanted to do customer evaluation, what they liked about Long's, what they didn't like, and we used students for that. And what you found is that students talk to students. They couldn't get older people to talk to them because of just the fact that they're students. When you're young, another student feels compassion for you and will talk to you. So we had this really skewed study because we didn't really have the true Long's customer, which, basically is an older person that's going in for medication and all the other things. And it was a really, unfortunately, it was a really flawed, we had a great picture of how students felt about it. But it was an interesting dynamic because what happened was that's who talks to them, and they felt more comfortable talking to somebody their own age as well. So,
well, by hearing these folks talk at the presentation, I'm going to guess that, they're all scientists. These guys were scientists, and I can't believe that they would, but, they need to be watched. But still, it seems to me that they will approach this, as professionally as they can, I hope.
Yeah, they indicated to us that the chamber, we offered our services to them, and they will get the word out. So perhaps the survey will be done, other than students, it'll come forth, through our membership to start with.
And again, it could be different. Was Long's drugstore, but I just thought that was an interesting thing that happened, and it was a really big dynamic of the whole survey, because we found out that, well, this is what happened. The other people wouldn't talk to them.
It's like any survey. I mean, you have to look at everything to get a true picture, and that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
How it gets so cloudy sometimes with
cloudy, but not our.
You just do that.
Well, we attended five of the members here. Ed Krovitz, who's not here today, the Embassy Suites, where they held a workshop on tourism, and in San Luis County, visitor and chamber. Was represented by all the tourist communities, had representatives, and did sort of a workshop setting where we looked at different facets of tourism, which included ecotourism and some I hadn't heard of before, the culinary tourism, and decided to make lists of what assets the communities could
provide.
Geotourism. And, of course, some of these borders...
Cultural tourism.
Cultural tourism. It makes you realize that some of the lines and distinctions are a little bit fine, and we had, I think, the big discussion on whether, you know, certain elements of geotourism are also ecotourism, and maybe it's about splitting hairs. But one of the things that came out of that is I just noticed in the New Times last week. So we discussed culinary tourism, and the thing is, well, what, you know, the wine. Everyone thinks of San Luis County, and it's all about wine. But think about it. If you drink all that wine on an empty stomach, what do you get besides a drunk or a headache? And what we have, because who's got a main course to go with the wine? And that's when I was thinking, well, we do in Morro Bay. We have the fish. That's it. And so I don't know. Bob, you want to put this up? It's just, you know, sometimes you get a little bit, you want to give a nice close-up there. But we did get noticed in the New Times just last week. I don't know how many of you saw this. The idea of these private luxury seafood dinner parties on the yachts. And I know we do have dinner cruises here in Morro Bay, and that's something that probably hasn't been maybe promoted as highly to the outside community. Now, I don't know if we can actually get the idea of having a fish festival, of something that celebrates Morro Bay the way you think of Maine lobster or Maryland crab cakes. You think of Morro Bay as being the place, you know, Monterey is canned fish.
Well, that's kind of what the Harbor Festival is.
It is, but in some ways, it puts the harbor first, and the harbor seems like a giant working entity, as opposed to my idea of a logo, which, well, I know we have a. This was just a.
It was just outside.
Yeah, I mean, what I couldn't draw well because I'm not a good cartoonist is you need sort of that fish that's sort of standing on its back fins, and it's kind of got a chef's hat on, and it's sort of winking. You know, sort of the Morro Bay fish and
create... Like Charlie Tuna.
Sort of a Charlie Tuna for Morro Bay. Yes, exactly. Or since we have the rock and we have rockfish, so it's rocky, a healthy environment, right? So one presupposes the other. If the fish is clean and pure and all that, it's like, you know, not like those dirty fish from some other bay that's all horrible. Like, you know, like no one's eating the Hudson River shad at the moment, you know. I mean, it's again, it's promoting the good clean thing. So, I don't know. That's what I got out of that.
I think that well, John, you were there too. So.
Well, I just had one comment that I think was really interesting, and I almost, but it didn't fit in to raise my hand and speak during the person from the state of California's discussion. But there was something that I thought was amazing about her research, and it's when she talked about travel to California by foreigners. And we saw this steady decline of people coming to California from Europe. And she made the comment that a lot of people, they've already been here. I mean, their perception is that California, because of what it is, people from, say, England or wherever will say, well, we want to go to California. And they go to LA or they go to San Francisco, so they've already done that. So then they go to another place. Well, they haven't been here. So it seems to me that if the state, you know, wants to try to get all those people who have already been to L.A. or San Francisco and have written California off of their next trip, is they need to promote the Central Coast. Because that's, and I've talked to people, and I'm sure we all have, that have you know, they come from Europe or whatever, and they go to L.A. and they think they've been to California. You know, they go to Disneyland, or some people never even get out of L.A., which is really unfortunate. But that was one thing that I thought was interesting. It's like, well, if you want to change that around, you need to promote the other California.
Well, that was part of the marketing plan of the state of California for years, and still is a portion of it. And that was, you know, the rural regions of California, the 12 Californians. I mean, that it's all broke down by regions, and that we still have the Central Coast Tourism Council because that's one of the Californians, as they consider it. You know, you have the Inland Empire, the desert region, and all this. So it's kind of like interesting that they're not doing more to promote those rural regions, California.
It's like you think you've been to California, well, you haven't.
Or Yosemite. And that was the one other thing. Either L.A., San Francisco, and we saw Yosemite, so there you go.
But I just thought that was interesting because she presented the problem but not the solution.
Right.
And I think the solution would be, and I do know that they promote other, you know, regions, but the bulk of it, you know, is it's just California. And that's what people...
It's pretty much about going towards niche marketing. The problem is, with us, is that we have no money. And niche marketing isn't cheap to do. And, you know, if you... So we play a little bit, but we, you know, it's hard when you want to stay talking to the friends who've supported you destination-wise for a long time, like the San Joaquin Valley and those things. I mean, we've already abandoned almost all of Southern California, which is one of our big markets. So that's what's hard for us, is a struggle when you don't have the financial ability to go after niche markets. So,
and I think, you know, the nice thing is that I think it reinforced what we're doing, because we've embraced what our unique selling point is, and it's nature. Mm-hmm. And it's the natural beauty that we have to offer, and it's also the ecotourism. And I think we did that probably long before a lot of people did, and saw the value of it.
I agree. The only problem that we have is letting people know about that's what we have. I mean, it's one thing to have a website, but if people don't know to type in morrobay.org, then what good is it? Or Googling Morro Bay, for that matter. So, it's so important to keep getting the word out that Morro Bay exists, and there's like a town on a map somewhere. But anyway.
So, Ed, do you know the process? Will the VCB make any sort of a presentation to us and kind of let us know what their marketing plans are? Because the concept was that they were gathering all of the unique selling features of the different communities, and they're putting that toward a marketing plan, right?
Right. And then you already got a list. You should have received a list, a culmination of that meeting that day, because I got an email.
Yeah, I got one.
And John got one. Did you get one, Bill? From
I had one. It's actually pretty.
That how all the areas broke down, all the cities.
I can send you mine, Heather.
That would be great. Thanks, Sean.
And Bill, do you want a copy?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it. Anything? Declaration of future agenda items? I'm going to forego the one for now until with NEP till we get a little bit more info, but we can add that later. Anybody have anything to add? Okay, we're done. We get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a Merry Christmas.